So, what if I told you that the exact same logistics network used to maintain, like, an absentee billionaire's completely empty Miami penthouse is actually, right now, sitting in your pocket, just waiting to deliver your baby carrots?
I mean, it sounds like a glitch in the matrix, honestly.
Right.
But it is actually the defining shift in how we consume today.
Yeah, and welcome to our deep dive. Because if you're listening to this, you've probably, I don't know, used a food delivery app or maybe listened to a curated music playlist or got a subscription box in the last 48 hours. You probably didn't think of it as high luxury, you know. But today, our mission is to examine what we're calling the modern concierge economy. You're
Exactly.
basically going to map out the entire spectrum of curated living. And to do that, we are looking at a stack of sources that, well, on the surface, they seem like they belong in completely different universes.
Yeah, they really do. So we have digital brochures from two ultra-luxury real estate and property management firms operating down South Florida. Then we're going to transition over to the corporate materials for this really upscale, highly curated restaurant group called the Grand Table.
Right, okay.
And then we'll finish up with the digital storefront of a local, seemingly everyday grocery delivery service.
Right. And I promise you, by the end of this deep dive, you're going to see how the philosophy of, like, extreme barrier building wealth has been quietly reverse engineered into an algorithm that literally manages your daily pantry.
It's wild to see the connections.
It really is. The through line here is all about, well, it's about the eradication of friction, right? So let's start in the very top of the food chain, down in Sunny Isles Beach, Florida.
Yeah, Sunny Isles is just such a fascinating microeconomy. I mean, if you look at the realty source we have, the whole landscape is just dominated by these sculptural waterfront towers that basically operate as brand
Oh, for
extensions.
sure.
Like we see properties mentioned, the Porsche Design Tower, Residences by Armani Casa, Bentley
I mean,
Residences.
St. Regis, the Estates at Aquilina. There's also Jade Signature Amuse Residences, right?
Exactly. And these aren't just buildings, they are like physical manifestations of global luxury brands.
Right, which, okay, my analogy for this is always that buying a multi-million dollar condo in the Porsche Design Tower is essentially like buying an exotic sports car.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right, like dropping the cash to acquire it is just step one. Step two is realizing you now need to hire this specialized, highly trained pit crew to maintain the machine so it doesn't just, degrade while you aren't looking. And that is exactly what our property management source provides. They are the invisible pit crew for your penthouse.
Yeah, and the list of services they provide is just illuminating. They offer something that is explicitly called absentee owner care.
Absentee owner care. Wow.
Yeah, which includes comprehensive weekly inspections, mail management, prepping the residence before you arrive, and what they call vendor management.
Okay, wait, vendor management. So they're just cleaning the place.
No, they are vetting and supervising repairs. They're coordinating bespoke events and even providing private chauffeurs.
See, and here is where I really struggle with their marketing, though. Because the firm's core philosophy, it literally states, "We understand that your property in Sunny Isles Beach is more than an asset. It is a sanctuary."
Right.
But let's pause and think about what a sanctuary actually feels like, you know? Like, if you require a literal team of professionals doing weekly walkthroughs, managing a small army of vetted vendors, and perfectly coordinating your arrival just to keep the AC running and the lights on, does that still feel like a home? I mean, it sounds to me like a boutique hotel that you just happen to hold the deed to. How does the constant presence of a management team equal a personal sanctuary?
So we kind of have to recalibrate our definition of a sanctuary for this specific demographic.
Okay, no, so.
For someone listening to this deep dive right now, a sanctuary probably means a quiet room, maybe a comfortable chair, like a place where the outside world just can't bother you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Closing the front door and locking it.
Right, but for an ultra high net worth individual, a sanctuary is defined purely by the total absence of cognitive load.
Cognitive load, meaning like the mental checklist of daily life.
Yes. Exactly. Because for this clientele, time and privacy are the ultimate luxury, not the actual physical drywall of the condo.
Okay.
If an owner is sitting in a boardroom in London and a pipe starts leaking in their Sunny Isles penthouse, the sanctuary isn't broken by the water damage itself.
Oh, I see where you're going.
The sanctuary is broken if the owner has to personally find a plumber, vet them, pawl them, and worry about the actual repair.
Right.
So the property management firm's core values are literally listed as discretion, reliability, excellence. They are selling a cognitive void. The owner pays a huge premium so that problems are solved before they even know the problems exist.
Okay, that actually makes a lot of sense. The sanctuary isn't a physical space, it's a headspace. It's the luxury of never ever having to manage the mundane stuff. And the global scale of this is just wild to me. The Realty site specifically caters to English, Russian, and Spanish speakers. So this is a highly transient, very international clientele.
And that transience requires incredibly complex logistics behind the scenes. Like, look at how they handle clients who aren't quite ready to commit to buying into the St. Regis or the Porsche Tower just yet. The Realty Source offers a portfolio of what they term flexible waterfront rental options.
Oh, right. They listed places like Marina del Viento, Marina del Sol, and Intracoastal Yacht Club.
Yeah, and they call it a fallback for clients who want more tailored rental discovery.
Tailored rental discovery. That specific phrase really stuck with me when I was reading it.
Yeah, because it completely reveals the underlying mechanism of this whole concierge economy. Basically, commitment is a form of friction.
Right.
Making a permanent choice is inherently risky. So the firm curates a temporary, frictionless lifestyle for you to just try on. They manage the entire discovery process from end to end, filtering out literally any property that doesn't meet an incredibly strict standard. They basically act as a reality filter.
A reality filter. I love that. So, okay, we have the private sphere locked down. You have an invisible pit crew keeping your curated Miami sanctuary in perfect frictionless working order.
Right.
But, you know, you can't stay in your condo forever. And the expectation of a completely frictionless environment doesn't just switch off the second you walk out the front door.
That is the crucial pivot here. When your private life has absolutely zero cognitive load, you basically lose all tolerance for friction in public spaces.
You expect the world to adapt to you.
Exactly. You expect the public sphere to offer that exact same level of white glove, highly vetted curation.
Which brings us perfectly to our second source, the Grand Table.
All right.
So this is a very upscale restaurant group, and the source materials give us the breakdown of two of their specific locations.
Right.
You have the Grand Table Cleveland, which is at 123 Main Street downtown, and that one focuses heavily on, quote, elevated seasonal menus. And then you have the Grand Table Charlotte, located at 456 Trade Street, which leans heavily into this aesthetic of historic charm combined with, like, a stunning rooftop dining ambiance.
Notice what is conspicuously missing from that description, though.
The food.
Right. It's not just a list of entrees. The setting, the architecture, the ambiance, all of that is given equal, if not more, weight than the actual calories being served.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But my biggest takeaway from their materials is really how they are marketing their calendar.
Okay.
Because they aren't just taking reservations for, like, a standard Tuesday night. They are heavily, heavily promoting these hyper-specific time-bound events. Like June 12th is the Summer Wine Dinner Series, and then June 28th is the Farm-to-Table Harvest Dinner. Dining there feels less like just grabbing a meal and much more like attending a limited-run theater production.
Well, the mechanics of those events are very deliberate. Like, a Farm-to-Table Harvest Dinner implies that someone has literally scoured the surrounding countryside, vetted the local agriculture, selected only the ingredients at their absolute peak,
right,
and designed a one-night-only narrative around them.
But I want to challenge that model for a second. If you are, say, a world-class chef running the Grand Table, shouldn't your everyday static menu be enough?
You would think so.
Right. Like, why isn't a perfectly cooked signature steak sufficient to keep a restaurant full anymore? Why is there this constant need to manufacture a summer wine series or a harvest dinner just to generate buzz? Are we becoming so spoiled by luxury that we need the restaurant to throw us a themed party just to hold our attention?
I wouldn't say it's about being spoiled, actually. It's more about a fundamental shift in what modern consumers consider to be valuable.
Okay.
The definition of luxury has moved away from acquiring physical things and shifted completely toward acquiring exclusive narratives.
Acquiring narratives. Okay, break that down for me. What does that mean in practice?
Well, in a world where almost anything can be delivered to your door in 2 days, physical goods are no longer really scarce.
That's true.
What is scarce is a unique, unrepeatable moment in time. Like, If you look at the Grand Table's website, they have a dedicated gallery section that is explicitly labeled Captured Moments.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they also feature a news and stories section. They aren't just selling you locally sourced vegetables. They are selling you the story of those vegetables.
So you're basically outsourcing the storytelling.
Precisely. Just as the property manager vets the AC repairman in Sunny Isles Beach, the Grand Table acts as your culinary concierge.
Mm-hmm.
They filter out the overwhelming infinite choices of where to eat and what to order, and they present you with one perfectly curated, highly orchestrated evening. You get to walk away with a narrative like, oh, I was at the exclusive harvest dinner on June 28th, that you can signal to your peers.
It's the exclusivity of time.
Hmm.
Because if you miss the harvest dinner, you can't just go by the next day. The moment is totally gone.
Right.
The restaurant is just a friction erasing machine for your social life. You don't have to worry if the food will be good or if the ambiance will be right. The concierge has already guaranteed the outcome.
And this is exactly where the implications get incredibly broad. Because the desire to have a third party vet your experiences, curate your seasonal ingredients, and guarantee a polished outcome, that is no longer reserved just for billionaires and penthouses or the elite clientele at a rooftop in Charlotte.
Right. And this is the major turning point of our deep dive. The luxury mindset, this intense demand for a managed concierge lifestyle, has completely trickled down into the most mundane aspects of everyday domestic life.
Yeah, it really has.
Which brings us to our final source, the digital storefront for a local service literally called your grocery store, fresh and local grocery.
And at first glance, this is just a standard local grocery operation. I mean, they are open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. But when you really look at the back-end infrastructure outlined in the source, it is a staggering feat of modern logistics.
It is an absolute machine.
Yeah.
We aren't looking at a simple list of apples and bread here.
Mm-hmm.
They have 21 distinct online departments.
Mm-hmm.
They run a dedicated vendor and delivery portal. But the most mind-blowing detail to me is their multilingual translation system.
Yeah.
You can interact with this local store's inventory in Arabic, Hindi, Chinese, Italian, Portuguese, Russian. The list just goes on. And they promise same-day delivery right to your door if you order by 2 p.m.
Just consider the technology required to map a chaotic physical grocery store inventory into a seamless, instantly translated digital interface.
It's crazy.
They're taking a highly complex, globally sourced supply chain and flattening it into a totally frictionless user interface on your phone.
And the specific mix of items we see in their catalog snapshot just perfectly illustrates that flattened global supply chain. Like, in one digital aisle, you have everyday local baby carrots on sale for $1.69.
Right.
But right next to that, you can add a 958-gram jar of Zycosin baby dill pickles for $6.99. Scroll down a bit, and there is an Alenka milk chocolate bar imported from Red October for $2.49. Or you can grab a $9.99 berry breakfast bundle sourced directly from Berry Farm.
They are basically offering a hyper-specific global pantry curated into a single localized hub.
Mm.
But honestly, the most revealing item in their entire catalog is the avocado toast.
Yes, the $6.99 avocado toast pack from Fresh Market. Listen, if you take absolutely anything away from this deep dive, think about the mechanics of the avocado toast pack.
Definitely.
You could order it for curbside pickup. This is essentially the everyday consumer's version of luxury provisioning.
How so? Exactly. For the listener.
Well, because when you buy a pre-bundled avocado toast pack, you are outsourcing the labor of selection. You don't have to go to the produce section, squeeze the avocados to see if they are ripe, find the right artisan bread, and figure out the exact ratios.
Yeah.
The grocery store has acted as your concierge.
Right.
They vetted the produce. They bundled the narrative.
Yeah.
You are paying for the exact same psychological comfort as the absentee owner in Florida paying a manager to vet a plumber.
The parallel is exact. It really is. You are paying a premium to offload cognitive friction. The app is basically your butler.
But, okay, I have to push back on this because it feels like a massive paradox to me.
Okay.
Think about the romanticism we just discussed with the Grand Table. Like, the prestige of locally sourced seasonal ingredients and the beauty of a farm-to-table narrative.
Mm.
Doesn't that entire romantic illusion completely shatter
Mm.
when those same local items are just, you know, digital thumbnails shoved into a virtual cart by an algorithm sitting right next to a discounted $5.99 bag of generic assorted wrapped candies? Like, how does a digital interface replicate luxury?
Well, it shatters the romantic illusion, perhaps, but it replaces it with something the modern consumer values even more.
Which is?
Guaranteed reliability.
Okay.
Look closely at the marketing language your grocery store uses on their digital storefront. They are deploying the exact same buzzwords as the ultra-luxury property manager.
Well, you're right.
They emphasize that their selection is curated. They heavily promote being locally sourced, partnering with local farms for the freshest seasonal ingredients. But most importantly, they explicitly sell peace of mind.
That's crazy. A local grocery app is literally selling peace of mind.
They are. The interface promotes secure checkout, easy returns, and groceries that are fresh and on time every time. They are selling absolute certainty.
Wow.
The desire for a friction-free life is just a universal human craving. It doesn't matter if your crisis is a flooded oceanfront condo in Miami, or if your crisis is just really needing your baby potatoes and your black raspberry mix to arrive at your door by 2 p.m. so you can get dinner on the table for your kids.
Right.
The underlying anxiety is exactly the same. What has changed in the last decade is that technology, API integrations, and highly localized logistics networks are finally able to satisfy that craving at virtually every income level.
The democratization of the concierge.
Exactly.
The algorithm does the heavy lifting, so we just don't have to.
Hmm.
So what does this all mean for us? Because it seems like we've quietly trained ourselves to expect concierge-level service-like, this total insulation from the friction of choice and logistics in every single facet of our lives.
We really have built a world of filters. I mean, the high-end property manager, the world-class chef designing a harvest dinner, and the grocery delivery algorithm bundling your breakfast, they are all serving the exact same sociological function.
They really are.
They filter out the noise, the hassle, the manual labor, and the risk of making a bad choice. They absorb the absolute chaos of the supply chain and present you with nothing but a polished, finalized outcome.
Which brings us to the end of our deep dive today.
Mm.
And I want to turn this directly over to you listening right now. I want you to take a second and mentally audit your own life this week.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your daily routines. Which parts of your life are you actually managing with your own hands and your own vetting? And which parts have you quietly handed over to the modern concierge economy?
It's a great question.
Right. From the food delivery apps on your home screen to your meal kit subscription boxes to the algorithm that selected the deep dive you're listening to right now, how much of your daily existence is currently operating under white glove absentee owner care?
It is a profound shift in how we navigate the physical world, and it leaves us with one of final essential question to ponder as we close out.
Let's hear it.
If every aspect of our lives, from the complex assets we live in to the curated harvest dinners we attend, right down to the pre-bundled avocado toast packs we buy for breakfast, if all of it is expertly vetted, curated, and seamlessly managed by third-party vendors and invisible algorithms, are we actually achieving ultimate freedom?
Mm-hmm.
Are we finally reaching that pristine state of peace of mind?
Or, and this is the flip side, is there a hidden cost to all this insulation?
There usually is. I mean, in our relentless, technologically driven quest for perfectly friction-free existence, we have to ask ourselves, are we accidentally engineering serendipity, struggle, and happy accidents entirely out of our lives? When everything is curated, nothing is a surprise.
Wow. Yeah, because if the algorithm acts as your butler and your invisible pit crew ensures the car never ever breaks down on the side of the road,
yeah,
you might never discover what happens when you are actually forced to get out and walk.
Exactly.
We'll leave you to think about that one.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.